Welcome to the Gut Goddess Show, your weekly podcast to help you create one happier, flatter, and more joyful belly and life. And I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist, all-round health, poop, and period geek. And my current food obsession is chocolate porridge. I mean, just the best way to start the day at the moment. Welcome to this episode of the Gut Goddess Show, and this week what I'm going to be doing is sharing with you my guide, my essential guide to being pregnant. I realized the other day I was looking through all the different episodes, and to be honest, I've not talked much about being pregnant. I think I've been getting used to the idea myself, so I wanted to do just a couple of episodes, not loads, just on some of the core things that I've been doing, that I've been learning, and that I recommend with my clients that are pregnant or become pregnant whilst working together, which seems to happen relatively frequently. And so I'm going to be sharing with you kind of, this is my essential guide. So I'm going to be talking about nutrition, the foods I'm really focusing on. Also going to be talking about some of the other kind of strategies and kind of the priorities that I've really put in place during this pregnancy to really help me be the best and feel the best that I can do and prepare for this next crazy stage of my life, which will be having a newborn. And that might well have happened by the time you're listening to this. So if you pray, feel free to pray for me as I get to grips with all things mothering. So that's what I'm going to be sharing with you today. So it's my essentials, my pregnancy essential guide, really, of things that I highly recommend that you do if you are looking to get pregnant, if you are pregnant, and thing in terms of eating and lifestyle and a whole bunch of different stuff. So before we get on with that, I want to double check. Have you done the Gut Goddess quiz yet? If you head to supernaturallyhealthy.org/quiz, I've created an online health assessment that can basically kind of help you cut the crap and figure out more what the heck is going on in your body. Because there's nothing more frustrating than being like, Kezia, I'm eating my healthy chia porridge or my green smoothies, but I still feel like crap. I'm taking probiotics and I still feel like crap, or they're making you worse, which is possible. Or, you know, feeling like you're actually putting an effort in. Maybe you're doing your interval training and you're not losing weight and you're just frustrated at why you feel so rubbish. Though the Gut Goddess quiz is really going to help with that. I kind of redirect you, give you a bit of a bespoke health assessment and plan of action at the end of it. It's completely free. It won't take you ages and it's really fun to do. I don't know about you, but I created the quiz because I love doing quizzes. Like, it's just so helpful and a quick and easy way to get a bit of insight from like a holistic nutrition point of view of what could be happening in your body. So make sure you do the quiz over at supernaturallyhealthy.org/quiz. So that's supernaturallyhealthy.org/quiz. And you can find out which gut goddess you are. I've been all of them, by the way. With my own health journey, I've literally been all of them. There's nothing you can tell me. Often when I start working with clients, you know, I'm asking the nosy questions about their periods, their poop, their libido, their skin, you know, maybe they have thrush, like how often are they pooping? How is their poop? And they can feel a bit embarrassed, understandably, because it's not, you know, we don't talk about like, you know, mucus when we poo very much in our culture. And I'm always like, seriously, guys, literally been there and done that. There's nothing you can tell me that will surprise me or that I've not experienced. Anyway, side note. So make sure you do the Gut Goddess quiz. Otherwise, let's get on with today's show. So being pregnant, it's quite an experience. I have to say, I'm recording this towards the very end of my pregnancy, and I, in all honesty, will be happy when this particular phase of my life is over. So to give you a bit of context, I am recording this when I am pregnant with my first child. I've had no previous pregnancies and thankfully no miscarriages or anything like that. So this is the first time this body's been through this. And it has been a really surprising and challenging time, I'm not going to lie. I know for some women, and I really hope for you listening, that you just breeze through pregnancy. Like, I really hope that that is the case for you. But for me, there's been moments where it's been really challenging, actually, and surprising, and not this kind of Hollywood experience that we kind of get set up for. So today, what I want to do is just share with you that the things that I've been really doing to make sure I look after myself, make sure I look after my baby, and really give both myself and my baby the best chance that I can possibly give. Because, you know, the whole thing of producing humans is that we are kind of passing on something. We're passing on the baton of our genetics. We're passing on the baton of our microbiome, of who we are. And I was been really aware that I want to give my baby as best a start as possible, as I'm sure all mums do. And so these are a couple of things that I'm going to talk about, are the essential items and strategies that I've used since being pregnant. Now, I talk a lot and I'm pretty passionate about preconception care. So if you haven't listened to episode, I think it's 27, on preconception care, make sure you listen to that, because actually I would say that is more important than these things I'm going to be talking about. If you're going to only have energy to focus on one thing, I would focus on your preconception care and focus less on what to do whilst actually being pregnant. I know that's a bit controversial because most people do it the opposite way around. They get pregnant and then they're suddenly like, oh crap, I should drink less, I should smoke less, I should start doing some swimming. I actually think it's the other way around. I think it's potentially more helpful. This is my opinion. I've not seen any data or research on this, but it's of my opinion that preconception care is actually, if you're only going to focus on one, focus on that. And then looking after yourself in pregnancy, ideally you'd be doing that because we should always be looking after ourselves. But if you've only got energy for one thing and focus for one thing, then really go and listen to episode 27 about preconception care. But these are the things I was just thinking the other day about all the stuff I've been doing whilst being pregnant. I've had a couple of people asking me, so I thought I would just briefly go through the different things that I've been doing that I have been really intentional and strategic about in terms of helping me throughout this pregnancy, and also in terms of thinking about, you know, pregnancy, you're building a human. So, you know, you want to be giving your body the right things so it can do all that DNA replication and building and growing. And it's a really depleting process on the body. I don't say that to depress you or to put people off, but pregnancy, birth, and then keeping a little human alive in that first year, 2 years, 3 years, is really depleting on the body. Now, I 100% believe that this is what our bodies are is designed for. We are designed to produce babies, healthy babies, and it's what we are created for. I don't think that pregnancy is like a medical, it requires, you know, it's not a disease. You know, there is some thought in the medical world that pregnancy is kind of a negative process that needs to be intervened with medicine, and 100% sometimes it does, and thank the Lord for things like C-sections and inductions and all the modern technology we have, because I have so many friends that wouldn't be alive if it weren't for for a C-section. It's phenomenal how many of my friends would not be still with us if we were living 500 years ago. So there is an element where we do need some medical intervention, but pregnancy itself is a natural process. That's basically what I'm trying to say. It's a natural process. Your body, it is waiting for it. Whether or not you want to have kids, your body is waiting for pregnancy. Every month is part of your cycle. It's basically what's happening. And again, this isn't to do with your choice to have a child. You always have a choice and you don't have to have children. Obviously, we know all of that. But it is your body on a cellular primal level is kind of waiting to produce humans. It's what it wants to do. And so I really approached this whole pregnancy from just a really natural perspective. Funnily enough, running a business called Supernaturally Healthy probably doesn't come as a surprise. But these, I'm going to share with you the key things when it comes to nutrition and lifestyle factors that I really think often don't get talked about enough and can be really, really helpful when it comes to growing tiny humans. Because as I say, it's a depleting process and we've got to be aware of that, especially as in pregnancy, you're preparing for birth, which is, I basically in my head, I'm a very visual person and I like to work in metaphors. So in my head, you've got like pregnancy, which is a bit like training for this Iron Woman event that you're going to do, like some crazy Iron Woman event over several days, over several Munros. You know, we have these different sporting events here in Scotland where like you run marathons over Munros, which it's just insane, but people do it. And so it's almost like pregnancy is your training period. It's your preparation period, your building, your growing period. Then you have birth, which is a bit like you're doing your Iron Woman event. You've got a couple of days of this event in front of you. And then you have your postpartum period, which is so important. And that's really around your recovery and your healing. And I really think that your postpartum, your kind of 30 days after giving birth is also as crucial as and as important to think about as much as the birth and as much as the pregnancy. A lot of the time we think a lot about the pregnancy, a little bit about the birth, and absolutely nothing about that postpartum period. And I would say for the first 30, even 90 days, is actually quite a sacred time and it's a really important time to think about. So that would actually probably be my first thing on my essential guide, actually, is really think about your postpartum period. I call it the fifth trimester because in my head, pregnancy is five trimesters. There's the first trimester, which is preconception care. Then you have your regular three trimesters of being pregnant. And then your final trimester is that last 3 months of the what I call the fifth trimester, which is that baby has been born and it's looking after mum, looking after baby. And it's that postpartum support where your uterus is shrinking back down, your abs are coming together, your hormones are rebalancing, you're producing milk for the first time maybe in your life, you are adjusting to a lack of sleep, you're taking care of a human, your whole life is changing. And really looking and supporting that fifth trimester, I think, is so, so important. So if you are pregnant, if you're thinking about getting pregnant in the future, then really making sure that you approach your postpartum period, so post-birth, for a minimum of 30 days, but at least 90 days, with real intention, real kindness, and really plan it through. I go as far as saying, you know, I'll have a birth plan, should we say, or kind of just more of a preferences, because you can't control birth. Who knows how this baby's going to come out other than he will come out somehow. So you can have your birth and your preferences there, but you can actually really plan for your postpartum support. And that is probably one of the first things. And that's something that I've really been trying to focus on in my pregnancy is actually, okay, what postpartum support am I going to have in place? So on the fridge, I'm going to have a document with all the different phone numbers of my chiropractor, my acupuncturist, a meal delivery service of kind of like Kezia friendly whole food meals that are cooked from scratch. I'm getting going to do a meal train. I am been looking at getting different support and all of that sort of stuff. So really planning your fifth trimester, how you're going to get looked after. And you actually really want to think about this postpartum period as a time of, you almost want to think about indulging yourself, not because you're going to have loads of time to go to spas and get your nails done. But I know for me, the idea of like getting a masseuse to come round to my house to give me a massage sounds really excessive. But if my birth doesn't quite go to plan and there's maybe a lot of trauma in my body, and I'm feeling really tense from feeding and from carrying this new little baby, then actually it may feel really indulgent, but having that 45-minute massage and time alone and some body work could be really healing and therapeutic. It might feel really indulgent. Another thing I've planned to do is get a cleaner in, and to get a cleaner in a bit more than normal during those kind of 90-day period, to come in a couple of times a week and do a couple of basic house things as well. That feels incredibly indulgent and excessive. I'm no different to you. I have that thought in my head of like, so many women don't have that. They cope fine. Why do you need it? You're such a prima donna, you know, whatever it is. And I have those thoughts, but I also know that I really need to give my body a chance to heal and to rest and to thrive, especially with my health history and just knowing the strengths and weaknesses of my own biology and genetics, immune system and energy production. So number one on this essentials list is focus on the fifth trimester. I know that you're just like, Kezia, you said this is about pregnancy. Now you're talking about after pregnancy, but I'd really encourage you. There's a great book called The Fourth Trimester. Most people call it the fourth trimester because they don't count preconception care, which I read on holiday, which was a great approach. It's a little bit woo-woo and spiritual for some people, but I found it really helpful. But really think about that. Okay, so number two, let's talk nutrition. What the heck to eat? Now, the first thing that you need to do or think about and bear in mind with everything I'm saying here, especially with nutrition, is you need to be kind to yourself. I spent the first minimum of 5 months, so from about January to April, May, probably May time, feeling sick all the time, being sick, in bed most days, in a lot of pain, a lot of nausea. I basically felt like I had the flu, but without a temperature. I did actually get the flu at one point, but I basically felt like I had the flu consistently, just without a temperature, and was struggling. I would get to about 1 or 2 o'clock and then I'd have to go and lie down, and that would kind of be me done for the day. I might try and do some work from bed because I was also been trying to do my master's, finish off my studying and run a business. So I would try and do some work from bed, but I was really pretty scuppered. I remember having client calls where I'd ask it to be on the phone instead of Skype, just so I could mute myself if I needed to puke in the middle of a call, you know, all of these lovely things. So you've got to be kind to yourself to a certain extent. If you're that sick, which hopefully you won't be, not everyone is, so don't be afraid, don't be worried, but you've got to be kind to yourself and just eat what you can eat, basically. But bearing that in mind, I talk a lot about in episode 27 about preconception care, about creating default healthy habits, and I've been really kind of, I suppose, proud of myself, or really amazed at how actually, even despite feeling so grim for so long, for like more than nearly half the year, actually I've created healthy habits as my default. So actually my food choices weren't that horrendous. I was still getting vegetables. I was still getting fruit. You know, I ate probably a fair amount of porridge, but I could still stomach putting things like chia seeds in. I just had these healthy habits that were default, that I didn't have to think about, that I wasn't trying to be healthy. It was just the food that I bought. It was just the things that I had in my house, and I could eat and I could eat them and enjoy them. So you've got to give yourself a bit of a break if you are feeling really sick. But there is a couple of foods that you really do want to focus on when being pregnant, and that is vegetables. I know that for often in the first trimester, most women can't stomach vegetables. I thankfully still could. I couldn't eat them late at night. So I would often feel best in the morning. So I would really cram in like a green smoothie or some cooked veggies, or I'd have porridge with lots of like fresh berries on it, something like that. So creating default healthy habits really helps. But vegetables, if you can, you want green leafy vegetables. You want lots of folate going in there, minerals, vitamin C, all the good stuff. You want the fiber because it's common to get a bit constipated at the beginning phases. Throughout pregnancy, I've definitely had different phases of being more constipated, and making sure you're getting enough fruit and vegetables. Again, ideally more vegetables than fruit, but I know my fruit consumption has gone up a lot in pregnancy and I'm totally fine with that. But making sure you're getting some vegetables where possible. So the other foods I've been focusing on eating are things like wild fish. Wild fish, so in the form of salmon. I've avoided tuna because of the mercury content, and things like sardines and mackerel. You want to go with good quality. You really don't want to be eating farmed fish at any point, to be honest. Farmed fish, just the nutrient status of them and the kind of junk that can be in them. It's like the difference between buying like a normal chicken that's been never seen outside and it's gone insane and has been abused and poorly raised, to eating a kind of really healthy organic chicken raised with love and done, raised humanely. It's the same with fish. So you really want to be making sure you're eating wild fish. You want to be eating fish with high mercury content. So things like tuna and swordfish and things like that. I think swordfish has got quite high mercury. But things like sardines. Sardines are like a pregnant lady's best friend. So if you can, really getting to eat sardines. And this is where the preconception things come in. If you get into the habit of eating sardines and you figure out how you like them, then you're not having to introduce them during pregnancy. So I highly recommend eating some good quality fish. You don't need to eat loads, like at least once a week, twice a week. That can be completely fine and enough for that. And in terms of other foods, you really want to be focusing on fats. I talk about fats a lot. So things like ghee. Ghee is a pregnant lady's and a new mum's best friend. It really is. So ghee is basically clarified butter. Most people, even if they feel intolerant to most dairy, can tolerate ghee. And it's a great way of getting all the nutrients of dairy without any of the problematic lactose and casein protein. And lactose is a sugar. It's a really helpful way of doing that, and it's a really healthy fat. So I've eaten a lot of ghee. I also can tolerate butter, so I've eaten a lot of butter. I don't really tolerate other dairy. I did introduce it in my pregnancy, but I ended up with eczema, and it just doesn't make me feel good, alas. But that's been the case for me with dairy since a child. So things like ghee are really, really helpful, and I'll put a link in the show notes to how you can make your own ghee. You can make your own organic ghee and grass-fed ghee for much cheaper than buying it at the shop. So we've got wild fish, we've got healthy fats like ghee, avocado, olive oil, coconut oil, nuts, seeds, all of these healthy fats. Because if you think about it, you're making a baby, and you're making a baby's brain. Babies, our brains are made of fat, our cells made of fat, hormones that you make in a baby made of fat. Fat is a really important component, and it is not a time you want your to be eating a low-fat diet. In fact, I don't recommend anyone really eats a low-fat diet. Also, in terms of your blood sugar, when you become pregnant, the reason a lot of women, or one of the reasons lots of women crave loads of carbs and sugar, is because pregnancy can really bring a kind of dysregulation to your insulin management, causing you to crave a lot more sugar, whereas fat can really help to stabilize that. And there is a theory that a lot of this kind of quote-unquote nausea and sickness can sometimes be due to a really poor insulin management and just the need for fuel, whereas fat can help to stabilize things. So eating lots of healthy fats is really important. So we've got fish, we've got vegetables, we've got fats. There's loads of other foods out there that are really helpful, but those are the things I really kind of focused on eating, as well as things like vitamin C and things to really support my immune system. So vitamin C, again, are in things like vegetables, berries. I've eaten a lot of berries. I tend to keep a whole batch of frozen mixed berries in the freezer to add to things like porridge, to make smoothies out of, to make into sorbet, those kinds of things. So those would be foods to focus on eating. So that is kind of the nutrition part of it. So that's part two. And then in terms of lifestyle things, there's a couple of really important lifestyle aspects that I think are really, really important and don't often get talked about. And the first is you've got to calm your nervous system. And the best way that I found to do this, the best researched way, the one that's most effective and that's easiest to do is meditation or mindfulness. I know some people don't like the term meditation. It doesn't matter what you call it. As long as you get your nervous system basically, I see this with women all the time, whether they're pregnant or not, is they, and I include myself in this, we do not know how to switch our brains and our nervous system into this parasympathetic state, which is our state of rest, of healing, of digestion. And it's really important that we learn how to do this, but we often don't get taught it. It's not anything I was taught at school, and our culture is very much go, 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 be productive, get stuff done. Like, you know, most women I speak to are like, well, I was at work and then I went to pick up the kids and then I've been making dinner and then I came home and then I quickly cleaned the toilet and then I quickly did that online shop and then had the other thing on my to-do list and then I did that and then I needed to get the things ready for the next day and then I tutored and then I phoned my dad and then I sorted out this with my granddad and then like their whole day is on the go. And it's not necessarily that they feel emotionally stressed. They're not like crying every day, although they may well be. That's also very common. But it's just we're constantly on the go, and that to our body on a cellular level is registered as stress and threat. So it's really important that we learn how to, I call it flick the switch. So we have to learn how to flick the switch between our go, go, go mode, which is our sympathetic, stressed, fight, flight, flee mode, into a parasympathetic mode. So it's really, really important, and especially important in pregnancy. A lot of your baby is going to be having kind of access to your life's experience through pregnancy, and actually birth and your hormones and so much of the process of pregnancy is affected by you and your nervous system. So it's really, really important that you take time to rest. You really don't want pregnancy to be a time of high stress for you. That doesn't mean we can't control circumstances. You might have just moved house, changed jobs, been remodeling. You might have just had a bereavement. We can't control our circumstances, but what we can control every day and what we can do something about is getting and training our minds and our bodies to rest and to get into this parasympathetic nervous state. And that, I think, just the world of good for you and for your baby. So things like meditation, pregnancy is a great time to start a meditation and mindfulness practice. It's one of those things that will come really in handy during birth. I mean, I've not given birth yet, but that's what lots of people tell me. I'll tell you in a couple of months' time. It comes in really handy for that. It really helps with your hormones. You don't want to be having really huge adrenaline and cortisol spikes during pregnancy, because it can just mess up some of the natural kind of hormonal rhythms of pregnancy, and it makes the world of difference for you and your baby. So meditation, I really, really recommend, or mindfulness, doing something every day that just allows your body to go, like even now, do you notice how different you feel just by breathing in and breathing out? That is what we want to be hitting. We want our body to be getting moments like that throughout the day. So that, because that supports our immune system, it supports our digestion, it supports our hormones, and it's just good for baby to do. So that's been a really, really important kind of lifestyle aspect is of meditation. And I will tell you, I am a recovering type A, go, 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 don't stop, do a million things, can't rest, the idea of like going on holiday to do nothing used to freak me out because I couldn't bear the idea of like sitting still. And I've really had to use a lot of discipline. The thing is with meditation, we often think it's like this enjoyable zen-like process. That's not been my experience. I've actually found it hard to do, hard to implement. It's required a lot of self-discipline, but I can really feel the difference in my adrenal health, in my mental health, and just in my body's ability to switch off. And the more you do it, the easier it gets. So I think meditation is a great place to do it. Things like the Headspace app, Calm app. There's a Christian app called Live From Rest that's really helpful if you want a more faith-based one. You get lots of stuff on YouTube. Mama Natural has affirmations. They're not meditations, but they're affirmations around pregnancy specifically. Hypnobirthing provides quite a lot of visualizations, which are similar-ish to meditations, which is really helpful. And I personally decided to do a hypnobirthing course, which I loved. I really do recommend it, actually. If you have been thinking about it, I know it sounds weird, hypnobirthing, but it's honestly one, me and my husband found it really helpful, and it really helped to shift my mindset around birth and pregnancy, and help me to actually approach it in a calmer fashion than what I would naturally do. My natural inclination with things is to like gear up and get ready, whereas actually hypnobirthing is a really helpful way of just preparing your breathing, your mind. And basically what hypnobirthing does is helps you do exactly what I said, engage in that parasympathetic nervous state, specifically through birth. So those are some lifestyle things. The next thing is sleep. This hopefully will come naturally to you while you're pregnant, but making sure you get enough sleep. Like I was sleeping maybe 10, 11 hours at the beginning at each night, and now I probably sleep at about 10 hours, 9 hours each night. So I know that's a luxury if you don't have that, you know, if you don't have kids already, but prioritizing sleep, you know, you can get babysitters so you can go for sleep. You can pawn off your current kids to family, friends, so you can get sleep. You can go to bed earlier. That's a good way of getting more sleep. So really prioritizing sleep. So that's number three. And number four is assembling your healthcare team. Now, this applies whether or not you're pregnant, but it's a really important to do whilst you're pregnant as well. But you really want to start to think about during pregnancy, you've got 9 months, really start to think about how do you want to feel throughout your pregnancy? How do you want to feel during and after your birth? And then really making sure you engage the right people and healthcare team on this. And for me, this meant being strategic and actually budgeting to spend money on it and actually spending a fair amount of money on myself throughout this pregnancy, which I've had in the past a funny relationship with money and struggled to spend money on myself. So this has been something that I have had to be intentional about. But I have to say, I've primarily spent money on myself this pregnancy and spent minimal money on baby things. We've just made that choice as a tiny little family. Most of our baby things were going to get given to us secondhand. We didn't buy a super expensive pram. We made some other kind of priority choices with our budget so that, because I knew I wanted to invest in my own healthcare team for me and my body. And I've been unashamedly selfish in that process. So my healthcare team has looked like getting regular acupuncture, and I wish I'd done that sooner actually when I was really, really sick earlier on in pregnancy to help with the nausea, but I was too sick to think about it. And so I go and see an acupuncture. I've got a lovely lady called Elaine who lives nearby who I go and see for acupuncture, and that has been really helpful for my pelvic girdle pain. Really, really helpful. Can't recommend that enough if you do ever get any pelvic floor pain. I've gone to see a chiropractor, my friend called Alan, also lives nearby, for adjustments because I have hip issues and was in a lot of pain. So I gone to see him relatively regularly, as much as I need to get different adjustments made. And he has worked a lot with pregnant people before. Obviously I have my midwife. I am planning on a home birth, so I have a home birth kind of specialist midwife, which we have here in Glasgow where I live, which I feel really privileged for. I've also been to see a pregnancy physio at one point who specializes in pelvic floor, just to check how my pelvic floor is. And I think that's probably about it in terms of things that I have been getting and on a regular basis, as well as obviously like my GP and all of the other standard kind of healthcare interventions and practitioners that you have. So I'd really encourage you to gather a healthcare team around you that's going to help you to feel good. For you, that might mean regular massages because of a lot of tension in your body. It might mean you actually, you know, because of other health issues, you might have consultants that you see regularly to check in because of other kind of hormonal issues or body issues. Maybe you have an autoimmune issue, whatever it is. It might be that you and that was the other thing I've been doing is pregnancy Pilates. So I've been going to a Pilates instructor specifically trained around pregnancy. I haven't actually done any specific yoga pregnancy classes because I found Pilates to be a bit more helpful for just where I was at. So gathering your healthcare team around you and be okay with being selfish and spending some money on yourself. You are growing a human being. You 100% are. And also with that, I would really encourage you to focus on supporting your pelvic floor. So things like Pilates and a good yoga instructor should really help with that. Your pelvic floor, we really want to look after that in pregnancy and in postpartum. And it's not just about doing Kegel exercises. It's really about looking at your whole body, your posture. I mean, I'm no pelvic floor expert, but we did have, I think it's on episode, we did have a pelvic floor specialist come in and talk to us, and that was episode 14. So that was Lisa, who is a pelvic floor specialist. So if you want to know more about pelvic floor and why it's so important, and it's not just to do with pregnancy, then make sure you listen to episode 14. So those are my kind of four essential things. So we've got planning for your postpartum care, number one. We've got nutrition, which are things like, you know, fish, berries, vegetables, fats, lifestyle things around sleep and meditation to help support your nervous system. And then gathering your healthcare team is number four, and looking at different practices that can really help. And number five, in terms of supplementation, there's not loads of research around supplementation in pregnancy, to be honest. So I'm always relatively cautious to be like, every pregnant person should take this, this, and this, because every situation is different. And that just is the case with supplements in general. You, just because something works for one person doesn't mean it's going to work for you, because your biochemistry and genetics are really different. But on a basic level, I think taking a really good prenatal that has a folate in, so methylfolate and methylcobalamin, so not cyanocobalamin, which is B12, you want a prenatal that has vitamins in their most bioavailable form for you to absorb. So a really nice way of doing that is a food-based prenatal. So I've taken a couple of different prenatals throughout pregnancy, and I just to try different things out, but you want to find one that works for you. I'll link for the one that I've been currently taking in the show notes, because I found a couple of them were really, really good, but they required taking like 6 pills a day, which from a nutritional science point of view, it makes a lot of sense. You ideally want like vitamins and minerals to be having a steady trickle through your system throughout the day. That's ideally what you want. But actually from a lifestyle point of view, I sometimes, in fact, quite often forget to take supplements. So once a day works well for me. So a prenatal is really good. I don't rate Pregnacare. I don't rate any supplements that you can buy from a supermarket or even Boots. I wouldn't even buy my supplements from places like Boots or pharmacies. And you really want to invest in good quality supplementation that is more absorbable for your body. You're never going to absorb everything in a supplement, but you want to absorb as much as you possibly can. You want to take your prenatal with a meal or before a meal. And that's definitely one that I highly recommend everyone take, unless you're very aware of specific nutrient interactions in your body. Another thing that I've taken and found really helpful has been probiotics. The research around probiotics and pregnancy is not overly conclusive. I personally, so my personal opinion and my what I personally do is take them, and I feel like there is such a limited, they're non-toxic from all the research I've read, which isn't all the research that's out there, by the way. But from what I've read, probiotics are not toxic, and so they can't do any harm. And for me, I didn't take them for a while and really noticed actually in terms of my energy, my bowels, and just how I was feeling. So I personally take probiotics, and there is some evidence that shows taking probiotics in pregnancy can help reduce things like your atopic diseases in children and reduce the risk of certain things in the future. So I rate them. I've also been eating fermented food, so as soon as I could stomach it, which to be fair has only been in the last couple of months. But I've taken probiotics consistently throughout pregnancy, and I've personally found that helpful, but that's probably something you want to weigh up yourself. But again, I personally see the risk as being so minimal with probiotics. Like, it's not like you're taking high doses of B12 or something, which you really don't necessarily want to do, or you don't want to be taking high doses of even things like vitamin B12 or vitamin A or anything like that, whereas probiotics, I have been taking those throughout. And I've also, other things that I've taken that I'm not saying you should take are things like magnesium. And the best way actually of doing that is through your skin. So magnesium oil spray, body butter, which is really nice. I have a magnesium body butter that I've been putting on my belly and my boobs to help just the skin there. So that's also a really nice way. And there's other things that are safe to take in pregnancy, but it really is on an individual person-to-person basis for recommendations. So there's other things I've been taking, but I've been taking them based on what I know about my blood test results, which I ran during pregnancy, because I always check in, and my genetics and how my body works. But supplementation, prenatal, for sure, you want it to have folate in, and you want it to have a good form of B12, which is your methylcobalamin. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. And I'll link in the show notes to the one that I recommend that you can buy from Amazon, and one that I've been using that's just once a day, and I found that really helpful. So that is your essential guide. 5 steps, 5 parts of my kind of guide to being pregnant, and the things that I've really prioritized and thought about throughout pregnancy. So we've talked a bit about food. We've talked about planning your kind of postpartum period. We've talked about being selfish and gathering a healthcare team. Talked a little bit about pelvic floor, meditation, hypnobirthing, sleep, and supplementation as well. So I hope that has been really helpful. If you have any questions at all, then Instagram is probably the best place to find me. Just head to Instagram, which is Supernaturally Healthy. Or you can go and leave a question or a comment on the show notes. So if you have any questions about what I'm asking or any ideas of future topics, then let me know, because I create this podcast every week to be a source of education, inspiration, and to really help you to feel your best and create the most supernaturally healthy, beautifully awesome, kick-ass life that you can create. So I'm here to serve you. So let me know how I can do that. And if you haven't left me a review yet, then I would love it. It would make me so happy to read the reviews. You can do that over if you go into iTunes, search for The Gut Goddess Show, click ratings and review, and then let me know your honest opinion, give me a rating, and I'd love to know how what you think of the show. And that really helps with all the energy and finance that we put into running this show. It's just a really nice way of saying thanks, Kezia, and I read them all, and we'll give you a shout out on the show. So sending you lots and lots of love. Have an amazing day. Eat like you love yourself. Know that you're worth it, and I'll see you soon. Bye.